Tomorrow marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charlotte Bronte, and lovers of her novel Jane Eyre are already celebrating, including author Patricia Park. Her debut novel, Re-Jane, is out in paperback this week. Timely. It pays tribute to Bronte's tale of the Victorian orphan who doesn't fit in anywhere, giving it a modern-day Korean-American spin. The title character is a half-Korean, half-American orphan who lives with her Korean uncle's family in Queens, New York, and is made to feel an outsider because of her orphan status. There are other echoes of Bronte's Jane Eyre, but Patricia Park also gives us insight into powerful Korean cultural forces like Noonchi and Tap Tap Hey, which we found out about when we spoke with Patricia last May. We began by asking her, how did she come to this book that sees Jane Eyre through a Korean prism?
Well, when I was little and I used to misbehave, my mother would always tell me in her broken English, she'd say, "You act like orphan." And I realized what she meant by that was that I was acting in a shameful way that disgraced your family. And for her, that was the definition of an orphan. So I first read Jane Eyre when I was 12, and I was struck by those epithets that were constantly thrown at Jane Eyre, that she was wicked, she was mischievous and friendless. And my mind kind of drew that link between the Victorian construct of the orphan and the Korean post-war one.
Well, tell us more about this idea of a post-war Korean thinking. As we said, this is a half-Korean, half-American orphan. Was that part of the shame? I mean, what would be shaming about being an orphan in more modern times?
In the character of Jane, I basically created one of the most marginalized figures in Korean society. Not only was she an orphan, but she was half white, half Korean. At least up until recently, Korean society was one that really valued homogeneity and kind of ethnic purity. So Jane is, her mother's shame is manifest on her face for all in the Korean community of Queens to see. Mm. And to be living in that kind of a society where constantly people's eyes just fix on you for a couple of seconds longer, and you're always made to feel different.
Yeah. And by the way, her name is Re-Jane. In Korean, the family name comes first, so hence the Re before Jane. But it also seems to be an obvious In-Re in reference to Jane.
Yeah, I'd like to think that the title functions on three levels. One is that in regards to like a subject of an email subject heading, also the Re as in a readaptation, retelling. But Re as a last name in Korean is extremely rare. It's actually fictitious. The more common kind of Western perversions of the last name are Lee, L-E-E, or Re, R-H-E-E. And the original Korean last name is E. So I guess it's like R-E is kind of a bastard of the bastardizations.
Well, your character closely follows the Jane Eyre storyline in many ways, in a modernized version of it. But there's a big departure, and this is when she goes to work for the Brooklyn couple, both academics who've adopted a girl from China. Now, in Bronte's telling, Jane Eyre goes to work for Rochester, whose wife is apparently dead. Jane Eyre doesn't know that the wife is actually insane, locked up in a room. In your telling, the wife's very much present, and a feminist and a professor of feminism who goes out of her way to befriend Jane, even though she can seem a little silly in her pronouncements. What do they eat in the family?
Oh, wheatgrass and all kinds of organic, fair trade, politically correct food.
Right, right. And Jane sneaks away with her husband at night to have hamburgers. But unlike Jane Eyre, this is a young woman who knows that the father that she's increasingly drawn to is married. What are you saying there? Because Jane Eyre was supposed to have an incredible moral center. And at this moment in the story, your Jane doesn't seem to.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the challenges of taking on a 19th century classic and reinterpreting it in modern times. And what I found in very early drafts was that Jane was coming off as very passive, and she was being reactionary as opposed to taking action. And if she's too perfect in a way, if she doesn't err, no pun intended on her last name, then it creates a disconnect with the reader as if, oh, this character is so much above us. You know, we've all done things that maybe we shouldn't have or we should have known better. But Jane spent a whole life growing up in Queens doing everything she was told to do. And for once, she kind of wanted to live for herself.
Well, and then you take Jane to South Korea, where she also doesn't fit in. And there's a point where she's describing how there's a kind of Korea and Korean that she had never heard before, either as a young child before she left or growing up in a Korean community in Queens, the girls spoke in a kind of Korean I'd never heard, young, female, modern, high-pitched, slurred, rose and fell in different waves from the Korean that adults spoke back in Flushing. First of all, can you give us a sentence that she might have heard in South Korea and then the way the older generation of South Koreans might speak it?
So an older gentleman, say, from Busan, which is where my parents grew up, you know, he might say, you know, have you eaten yet? 밥 먹었나? And maybe a Seoul female, a modern female, might say something like, 밥 먹었니? So, you know, the first one actually is a little bit of a dialect, but gender is so scripted in the language. What I found, which only became apparent to me when I traveled to Seoul to research this book, was that the Korean language was rendered differently by men and women. And I noticed that I would be conversing with women, and then when they would go to call for a waiter or speak to a taxi driver or sometimes address other males, their voices would go up. So when you call for a waiter, a lot of times you say 여기요, which means literally like over here, and they would say 여기요. And I had spent my first year in Seoul speaking Korean the way that I speak English in a kind of maybe a deeper voice. And I realized that I was being read as quite forward and maybe even masculine or somehow perverting the way things are done. So I learned that I think that Koreans have learned to use language in a different way, and maybe they don't even realize it. I will say that I traveled on a Fulbright grant to research Ree Jane, and before I left, I was basically weaned on stories from my parents' childhood about a Korea lost in time from, you know, up until the 1960s. So I was picturing these folk villages and friendly townsfolk drinking rice wine on together in the town square. And then I arrived in Seoul, and this country that I was told my whole life that I belonged to, I arrived and I was just as anonymous as the next foreigner.
You were still a foreigner, even with your Korean background. That's Patricia Park. Her debut novel is Ree Jane. It's kind of Bronte's Victorian-era Jane Eyre, but set in modern-day New York and South Korea. And Patricia, throughout the book, your Jane talks constantly about things that are part of her Korean culture. Can you explain a couple of them, like nunchi? What is that?
Nunchi is untranslatable in American culture or maybe even in the English language, but it's this sense that controls Korean society. It's kind of like anticipation and foresight. It's the ability to walk into a room, read the situation, and anticipate not only how you're supposed to behave, but how everyone else in the room is as well. So Jane's struggle is to learn how to use it and when to ignore it.
Tap, tap, hey. Am I wrong?
Tap, tap, hey, yeah. You just imagine tapping your hand to your chest out of frustration and discomfort.
Is that what that is? Just frustration?
No, I think it translates more to discomfort, but it's a constricting feeling. It's psychological, right. It's physical, it's emotional.
And your characters speak of both of these things constantly. Is that still a part of your life?
Well, if I may use both new vocabulary words in the same sentence, it is 답답해 to always observe 눈치. And I felt this moving back and forth from the different societies I grew up in. I grew up in blue-collar Queens to Korean immigrant parents, Korean-Argentine immigrant parents, and that was a world I knew up until I left for college. And when I arrived at this liberal arts campus, everyone was speaking a different language. People followed different social codes. I would be awkwardly pouring a drink for a friend, and they wouldn't ever return that favor, and I read so much into those kinds of social gestures, and I learned that you have to kind of shed that. But it can feel this 답답한 feeling where you feel so uncomfortable and there's no other way to express it.
Because you haven't seen the nunchi.
Or because they don't have the nunchi and you're trying to shoot them nunchi daggers that they can anticipate what they're supposed to do. No. It leads for a lot of cultural confusion.
Wow. Well, it's fascinating, and it's laid out in Patricia Park's debut novel, Ree Jane. Patricia, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.